This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 right now. Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Tan Chung Han here with me, and guest hosting with us this morning is Giri Balakrishnan. Let's turn our attentions now to global markets, especially the US, where the Nasdaq has recorded an 8-day winning streak. That is its longest run since October. Meanwhile, the S&P 500 is less than 1% away from a new record high. So where to next for the US stock market? Well, joining us on the line to discuss this is Mikio Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong. Good morning, Mikio. Good to have you joining us this morning. Now, I'd like to begin there at U.S. equities. What's been driving U.S. equities higher of late?
Good morning. Well, we had a receding of trade tensions over the past several weeks, even though Donald Trump, the U.S. president, has actually enacted further tariffs against China. Most other countries, including China, have been either actively pursuing pro-trade policies. We had the agreement between the EU and Japan signed. We had an EU-Chinese summit where both declared their commitment to the WTO-based trade system. And we had an agreement of the 16 Asia-Pacific nations on to go ahead and speed up an agreement on the regional on RCEP. So everybody else is very much on the pro-trade situation, and that helped the market refocus on economic fundamentals, which are quite good, especially in the U.S. at the moment. Earnings, for example, are up by about 25% or more in the U.S., not less strong in the rest of the world, but also very positive. And I think that helped the market rebound and rally.
So what do we see in terms of further catalysts for gains in the U.S. Equities in the near future?
Well, I, you know, the market being a mechanism that looks ahead, I would be rather on the cautious side. In fact, we are on the cautious side because the trade tensions, even though they may have receded for now, will probably not go away that easily. So they will return eventually, especially the situation with China is something that has deeper roots. So that's not going to go away so easily. And we have the Fed and some other central banks removing stimulus. The Fed is actually tightening, not just removing stimulus. And that will start returning into clouding the outlook going forward. So while I'm not yet negative, in fact, we are still a little bit overweight, we would be on the cautious side if markets continue to rally further and be actually willing to trim exposure into strength.
Hey, Mikio, I understand your cautious stance right now. Now, on top of those heightened trade tensions with China, although you say they may have receded a little bit, I mean, looking back at this past week, there was news of US-led economic sanctions against Iran, also on Russia, also there are geopolitical tensions with Turkey there. So how much does the current geopolitical risk meter feed into your global investment strategy right now, beyond just those trade tensions?
Yeah, I think mostly it's still trade. I mean, the fact that Russia and Iran are out there as additional geopolitical risks is not entirely new. And, well, Iran doesn't really have a financial market. And Russia has been performing already, you know, according to what you would expect in this environment. The reintroduction of sanctions made reminded investors who are active in the emerging space, you know, that there is still the risk out there. So I wouldn't say this is a new risk factor out there, but it is certainly a risk factor.
Mikio, you say the China tensions has deeper roots and that's causing you to remain cautious at the moment. Could you explain, elaborate a little bit as to why you see that this could come back or it has deeper roots?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, you can argue about whether the U.S. president's method or, you know, the way he handles things is good or bad or productive or counterproductive. But at the core, all countries, all major economies, including the EU and Japan and Australia and many other counterparts of China, have very similar concerns when it comes to Chinese, especially intellectual property, but more broadly, economic and trade policy. So that is the root of the issue. And of course, the Chinese side knows this as well. It's behind the doors and in much more polite manners, these concerns have been voiced in various countries, by various countries many times in the past. There is also, of course, in Asia Pacific, especially a geopolitical dimension, as you very well know. So I think there is a concern among all other powers about Chinese assertiveness in trade, particularly in economic policy, particularly as well as in other matters. So this is not something that's going away easily, and also it's not something that China is going to back away easily. Now, with regards to the method of confronting these issues, you know, there is both room to criticize the United States, but also China. And I think we are hearing some noises out of China as well, that within the Chinese leadership, there is also a discussion about, you know, what the right way for China is to go ahead and deal with these issues, whether you are more, you know, the degree of how aggressive you counter in this situation. I'm quite optimistic, actually, that at least as far as the economy is concerned, one positive for that going forward is that the Chinese leadership will probably take measures to try to support the domestic economy as they go through this difficult situation.
So moving on to the U.S. economy, Mikio, all eyes are now on the inflation data for July, which is due out later this evening in Malaysian time, 8:30 p.m. Markets expect we'll see similar readings for July compared to the month prior. What are your expectations?
Well, you know, inflation for now, I think, is not a very major concern. So the general picture being that in the developed markets, it is sort of slowly advancing towards the 2% goal that most countries have. When I mean 2%, I look more at the core inflation rate rather than the headline numbers. And I don't think it'll surprise too much on the strong side, though.
Mikio, thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing your thoughts with us. That was Mikio Kumada, Global Strategist at LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.